Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big political stories of 2018, the race for Illinois Attorney General. There won't be an incumbent on the ballot because Lisa Madigan isn't running for re-election. And the Democratic primary field is eight candidates strong. This weekend, you'll get to know Renato Mariotti. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Attorney General Madigan surprised a lot of people, practically everyone actually, when she announced that she's not running again, and the political landscape shifted. A man who was running for governor switched over to this race, and a man who was governor decided to try for elective office again. You might wonder why a first-time candidate would even enter the churning waters here, but there are in fact a couple of them in this race, and Renato Mariotti is not a complete unknown. You may have seen him on CNN, MSNBC, and some other media platforms as a legal commentator and contributor, mostly since President Trump was elected, and he's active on social media too. Renato Mariotti is a Chicago-born and raised former federal prosecutor. His parents worked hard to put him through college, and he won admittance to the Yale Law School. As a lawyer, he has worked in private practice, and he did that before spending a decade in the U.S. Attorney's Office. He was part of the Securities and Commodities Fraud Section. He is back in private practice now and obviously running for office. Renato Mariotti, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, let's ask the obvious question first. Why do this? You've worked in the law, but you have no real government experience. I don't see any indication that you've been a boss before. Why does the experience that you do have make you the person for this job?
Well, that's a great question. I certainly have a different kind of experience than my opponents. I think I'm the only person in the race who either isn't in elected office now or hasn't been appointed by ROM to something in city government. And it does set me apart. But I have a lot of experience investigating crime. I have a lot of experience trying cases. I think that's the sort of experience that that would help somebody be a great attorney general. I mean, that is really what the attorney general's office does. And I will tell you, when I was a federal prosecutor, having somebody like Pat Fitzgerald there who had tried a lot of cases, investigated a lot of crime, was really helpful when we were deciding whether to bring a case, whether to, you know, settle a case, essentially, you know, when to hold and when to fold them, so to speak. And I think, you know, that would help me as an attorney general be a good steward for the state and bring cases that can have the highest impact. So, you know, for me, why am I doing it? You know, it's interesting. You know, you talked about how I do a lot on media just a minute ago. And that is really, as you mentioned, really started since Donald Trump was elected. I was a federal prosecutor until last June. I'm 41 now, for what it's worth. I decided after he got elected that it was time for me to speak out more. I write a lot of op-eds. I had one in the Washington Post yesterday, but I publish them all over the place. I do a lot on social media, and it's important to speak out. And I think that shouldn't be underestimated. I think there's a value in it, but I think actually being on the front lines, bringing cases on behalf of people is something that you can do that's a lot more. So, you know, a few months ago, I had written, for example, an op-ed about the DACA decision that Trump had made about how, you know, he's rolling back this protection for these young kids. And I talked about how the legal system could be used to protect those kids. Well, instead of writing an op-ed now, I could actually bring a lawsuit on behalf of Illinois residents who are affected by it. That's the difference.
In fact, your introductory video makes it almost seem as if you're running against President Trump, the one that launched your campaign. How much should resisting the president's agenda be a part of that office?
Well, I think it should be an important part of the office. I mean, one difference I think between myself and maybe some of my opponents, but and just I think the way that we ordinarily think of that office is here in Illinois, we've thought of it as, hey, this is a consumer protection office. It has certain functions. I think we need to be more aggressive with that office, not only resisting President Trump, who I really believe is a threat to our democracy, but I also think we need to be aggressive about going after the rich and powerful. You know, you talked about how I was in the securities and commodities fraud section. What I'm known for is a federal prosecutor. And if you had asked, you know, if you had read an intro about me a year ago, people would have said, well, who's that guy? Well, he's the guy who convicted the first guy to convict a high frequency trader, you know, or first person to handle, you know, certain types of big, complex financial cases. I went after people who were taking advantage of the system back then as a federal prosecutor. And what I want to do as attorney general is, you know, go after the rich and powerful who are taking advantage of the system to stack the deck against people like my parents. I mean, you mentioned how my parents worked hard. My dad didn't even graduate from high school. He's a cashier at Walmart now. And, you know, he worked two jobs. My mom worked two jobs to put me through school. Those they're struggling to make ends meet, and they always have been. And there's a lot of people around Illinois who are like that, who are being victimized by people who are taking advantage of the system.
Did the kinds of cases that you handled also give you a good insight into government itself?
I think so. You know, first of all, we worked with the Attorney General's office, and that's part of the appeal. I will tell you, you know, people think, oh, well, the Attorney General, well, one thing I'll tell listeners, I don't think people realize the Attorney General does more on the civil side of things than the criminal. And people are like, well, what does that even mean? Well, civil is where you bring lawsuits. And that doesn't sound as sexy as putting handcuffs on people, but it can be very, very important. Because when I was a federal prosecutor, I had to develop evidence beyond a reasonable doubt before I could bring charges against somebody. That could take years to do, and we're finding that out in some of the investigations that are in the news. It takes a long time. But when the attorney general sees a wrong that is being committed, the attorney general can bring a lawsuit and make allegations and generate attention on that person. And if somebody is committing fraud or if somebody's committing wrongdoing and they know that they're facing a lawsuit from the attorney general, sometimes they can take quick action, change their actions before there's even a need to go further with the lawsuit.
And let's continue along those lines, because the vision of what the attorney general's office should be is often an issue in the campaign. I know when Lisa Madigan first ran for the job against Joe Burkett, it was this dichotomy of she saw herself as and still does as the state's premier consumer advocate. He saw it as the job as basically the chief prosecutor, the one going after the bad guys. That doesn't mean they're mm-hmm. both good people, and they sure. but it was a matter of emphasis. So where does your balance come out mm-hmm. between those things?
That's a great question. I think if I had to tell you what is my number one goal as attorney general, it is to use that office to make an impact on what I call social justice. I mean, there are that, you know, we keep seeing, and we saw this, we had this tax bill, that's the news that on the news this morning, this tax bill that got passed that's helping very wealthy people, corporations. I think that the deck is getting stacked in their favor, and it's being stacked against average working people. That is the number one thing I think I could do as attorney general, and it's along a number of lines. Some of it, you know, there can be a criminal component to it, but a lot of it is bringing civil suits against corporations that are, you know, that are, for example, lenders that are preying on people. In the environment, there are companies that are polluting our water and you know, dirting our air. And that has an economic justice component, because that often affects communities that are disadvantaged much more than it affects others. But, you know, there are people who are preying on our seniors, for example. So there's something called wage theft, where literally you have employers who aren't paying people the wages that they're owed. So I think there's a lot of ways in which the attorney general can get at that. And I want to do that kind of through a number of different lenses.
Yeah, I know you also talked about economic justice and you touched on some of that. But what do you really mean when you say that?
What I mean is being an advocate for working people who can't afford legal representation of their own to vindicate them. So here's what I mean. Let's say, for example, there's people across the state who are each harmed $100 by a bank. Let's just say, for example, well, they're not going to hire a lawyer to sue somebody for $100. I mean, that's just not that's not worth doing. It's that you can't afford somebody. But the attorney general can do something about it. If thousands of people are being harmed by $100 each, the attorney general can act and create millions of dollars in benefit for people across the state. And that's the sort of thing that I think the attorney general can do. Taking action when somebody is being taken advantage of when they would not necessarily have the resources to do it themselves.
One of the other frequent debates in this this realm is also about how much of a focus there should be on public corruption. There's sometimes some people have criticized Lisa Madigan for, in their view, not going after public corruption as much. What do you see as the role? Because, you know, some might argue that that's really for the U.S. Attorney's Office, where you used to work. They're much more equipped for that.
Well, I will tell you, I recognize that that is a huge problem in Illinois. And being a former federal prosecutor, I've seen a lot that makes me queasy about politics in this state. And I will tell you, it is one of the things that gave me pause about doing this. I mean, I think running for attorney general, it's a race where, you know, it's you're running to be a lawyer, the chief lawyer for folks in the state. But it's definitely a concern just even getting involved in the political system. I can see why people are concerned about it. And I do think that, you know, when I talk to people around the state, there is this impression that as you mentioned, that Lisa Madigan hasn't done enough. I think, you know, part of it is because she has a connection to somebody who's obviously very powerful in political office. I mean, I will tell you, you know, I've never had a conversation with her father or really any of the other big insiders, you know, that you might know. And I think that's something I bring to the table here. I'm certainly somebody who's very independent. My experiences as a prosecutor, I'm not anybody's candidate in terms of being a stooge for any insider. But I will say this. I do agree with you that the U.S. Attorney's Office, the federal prosecutors, should be playing a lead role in corruption cases. And so what I think is, as attorney generals, what I could do is this. First of all, when there are allegations of corruption that I become aware of, I would be working with the U.S. Attorney's Office to not only provide them information, but to help and assist in their investigation in any way I could first. Second of all, I think we need to have more transparency in state government. And that's something that I would be fighting for, because I think that's really a big part of the issue, is there's all these sort of backroom deals, things like that. And third, I really think that we need to go beyond what the law requires. So part of the problem here is there's a lack of trust in the democratic process. And I will tell you, my supporters, a lot of them, frankly, are concerned in our own party. I mean, as a Democrat, a lot of people distrust the leadership of our own party. I think what we need to do is go beyond what is required by the law and try to adopt principles that make people have confidence in us as stewards of the public good and public resources. So I would try to be proposing, you know, a set of policies to try to go and above and beyond what the minimum is. And I would be advocating for that on behalf of people.
I want to raise another issue that would face the office in one form or another, and that is a violent crime. What role should the attorney general have in combating the violent crime that's been plaguing Chicago and other areas across the state?
That's great. I mean, the attorney general's got an important role to play there. You know, one of them is on a policy side. You know, that people don't realize how expansive the role of the attorney general is. But one of the roles that the attorney general has is actually being an advocate for legislation that affects criminal law in the state of Illinois. So that's one important way. The second, and frankly, one thing I think we need is criminal justice reform. We have, in many ways, while violent crime is a problem, we have overcrowded prisons in Illinois, and that's because we have a lot of nonviolent folks in prison. I think we need to focus more on violent crime and on white collar crime. It's something that obviously is something I care about as somebody who's spent time in that area, but I don't think we spend enough resources on. But then, you know, in addition to that, I do think the attorney general has an important role in policing abuses by the police department as well. I mean, one thing that I agree that with Attorney General Madigan is, you know, she took action to try to step in and police the Chicago Police Department. There's been work on a consent decree there. I think that that's an important role that the Attorney General's office can play.
Let's talk a little bit about the field. You are up against some big names, not the least of which is former Governor Patrick Quinn. He comes into the fray with basically fundraising and campaigning skills and a base of populist supporters. How does a lawyer who has not really done this before counter that kind of thing?
Wow, that's a great question. What I would say, a couple things. First of all, look, I'm trying to run a different kind of campaign. You mentioned my social media presence. I've got a bigger social media presence than all my opponents combined by a factor of 100, I would say. I'm using a lot of free media. But another part of it is I'm running more of a grassroots campaign. I will tell you, when I talked to some political consultants, they told me there's not enough time. Just, raise money and run TV ads. And I just have decided not to run that kind of campaign. And I have tens of thousands of volunteers who signed up, and I've got them all around the state. It's a different kind of campaign and a different kind of energy. And I will say, a lot of people who are insiders underestimated other candidates, whether it was Donald Trump, who I didn't agree with, obviously, as you know, but also, Bernie Sanders, when he almost won the nomination here in Illinois and shocked people by getting, I think, 49% of the vote. So I think the traditional ways of reaching voters are limited, and we're going to be testing them.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm political editor Craig Delamore. My guest is former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti. He is a Democratic candidate for Illinois Attorney General. Let me bring up another Democratic candidate, and that is State Senator Kwame Raoul. He has the backing of the Cook County Democratic Party, which means ground troops to help him get out the vote. But you already alluded to the lack of trust some people have for the party hierarchy here. Is backing from the party these days a good thing or a hindrance, as some of the people in the governor's race would suggest? Mm-hmm. We should point out the party chairman is Joseph Berrios, who is the assessor, who has also been having to answer some allegations about the tax system or the tax assessment system in the county, among other things. But is it a good thing, bad thing to have the party's backing?
I would say it's a mixed bag. I mean, look, if you're running, if there are voters out there who are looking for an insider who the party hierarchy is behind and is pushed, they're not going to vote for me. I know that. I mean, voters who are looking for a candidate like that are not going to be picking me as their number one choice. Voters who are unhappy with the direction that Illinois politics is taking, unhappy with the direction our party's been taking, people who want somebody who's an outsider, somebody who is bringing a new perspective, somebody who has experience as a lawyer and a prosecutor and a trial lawyer versus somebody who has experience in the party hierarchy as a politician. That's who's going to go for me. So from my perspective, there's a bunch of politicians and insiders in the race. They're going to split the support of the insider group. I mean, from what I see, not all of them. You mentioned Mr. Raoul's got the support of Cook County. Obviously, Pat Quinn has his own group. There are others in the race who have their own little base of support. I'm happy to let them split up the establishment vote, and I'm going to try to represent the people who want change.
Scott Drury, who's another former federal prosecutor, there are like three of you in this race, former federal prosecutors. He's challenging your petition signatures, suggesting there were some irregularities in the circulators and the notaries. What do you say to that? And do you have enough signatures that can survive this cut? As the search process or the challenging process, I should say.
I'm not really concerned about the challenge at all. If you get into the weeds of it, I turned in thousands more signatures than I needed. I think he challenged barely enough to knock me under, even if all of his allegations were true, which they're not. Look, this is a typical, he's a Springfield politician. It's a typical game that he's playing, trying to get his name in the headlines, attack me. I think, it's unfortunate because I really think this sort of stuff, somebody asked me when I was in line for petitions down in Springfield. There's a whole lot of us standing in line to turn in these signatures. They're like, what do you think of this? It's such a great tradition and this and that. And I said, what I think of it is all of us standing here in this line could be doing a hell of a lot more to help people than spending this time in this line doing this. There's a lot of things in this process that I think are a waste of everyone's time. That's part of it. We're fortunate. We had a lot of support. We're going to get on the ballot. But, this sort of, it's unfortunate that he's wasting state resources on what is essentially a political stunt.
But, you know, as any lawyer would know, the law is the law. And even if you don't particularly like it, you have to follow it. Is it possible that some circulators could have cut corners? I mean, it's a rookie campaign, so not everybody has done this before.
Yeah, no, I'm not concerned. I mean, just I've looked through it and you know, went through it with my team. It's not an issue. We'll be fine.
And now, just to raise the full field question, because you've got two female candidates in this race, Sharon Fairley, the other former federal prosecutor. Yeah. And she was the head of the Police Accountability Agency. Nancy Roetering is mayor of Highland Park. You've also got, among other candidates, Jesse Ruiz, the Park District President. Everybody's has a little bit of a different background. How do you make yourself stand out among them?
Yeah, I'm different. I mean, you know, all those people you mentioned, they were, like I said, they were appointed by Rahm. They were offered to something like Sharon or Jesse, obviously, with the school board and the parks board, you know, they're associated with him, or Nancy's been elected to office. I'm different. You know, I am somebody who I think if you know, how do people know me? They know me as sort of a resistance leader online and off, somebody who's very active and indivisible, somebody who is organizing people online, you know, progressives. But I'm also somebody who is a legal analyst and a lawyer who's tried really high-profile, important cases and brought cases investigating rich and powerful people who abuse the system. That's who I am. That's what I'm doing this for. I have a different message than them. If you look at these other people, they have different programs, different priorities, and really a different message. And so, you know, I'm going to try to focus on that message and focus on bringing that message to voters. I think it's what Democratic primary voters are interested in. And the reason I know that is not because I've run a poll, because I haven't, but it's because I'm one of these people. I'm one of these Democratic activists who's fired up. And I'm reflecting our values and reflecting our agenda.
Now, do you think the issues that are going to drive the campaign are going to be about the personalities, or are there specific issues that are going to either bring the voters out and make them vote one way or the other, or not?
Well, I do think there's a real focus in the Democratic Party for stopping Trump. So you mentioned earlier that my video, it sounded like I was running against Donald Trump. Yeah, in a way I was. I mean, it's funny because before that video came out, a lot of people in the race, I think, did not have that orientation. They weren't talking a lot about taking on Trump. There was some scoffing about that. But I think now a lot of my opponents are moving in that direction. So maybe they've run polls. I don't know. I haven't. But the reason I was focused on that is because, frankly, that's been my focus in public, whether it's on TV, radio, in print, on the internet, in social media. It's taking him on because I think, like many people in our party, I view him as a threat to our democracy. I view him as somebody who's taking away our constitutional rights. And I view him as somebody we need to do everything possible to stop. And this job, attorney general, is a job that a lot of states are using, a lot of state AGs are using to be a check on the Trump administration. And I think people in the state are hungry for that. I know when I'm in Indivisible Chicago, we had to do phone banking to Lisa Madigan's office to convince her to join one of the lawsuits that other state AGs were bringing regarding the Affordable Care Act and contraceptive coverage. And we don't want to have to be calling. We want an attorney general who's going to be on top of that and leading the charge. So I think that is a real focus.
Let's talk a little bit about finances, because money, getting your message out, is an important thing to worry about. Kwame Raoul seems to have the most cash on hand to get his message out, more than $500,000. Some others have in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. Most have more than you. How can you raise enough money to raise your visibility?
Great question. Well, a couple things. First of all, you know, you're right that some candidates have more than me. Some of them rolled over money from other races. So you had folks who were already like Mr. Raoul, a state senator, or they were running for some other office and decided to change their mind. So they were rolling in some money. And then other people, obviously, they're regulating or passing bills on behalf of certain industries. They're getting money from those entities. I'm not. So that's definitely a challenge for me. I don't have any sort of insider connection with some, you know, with some industry that I'm regulating. That is an issue. But I would say this, you know, we've talked about what my strengths are and weaknesses as a candidate. One of my strengths is that I get a lot, you know, you talk about getting my name out there. I get my name out there. I get millions of impressions on social media every week. I get lots and lots of free media. So the real question should be not in a vacuum, how do I get my name out there? But is the difference between me and candidate X, whether it's 80,000 or 100,000 or whatever that difference in dollars, does that difference in ad money make up for the difference that the social media advantage I have, the free media advantage I have? I mean, I think these people need to raise a lot more in money in to run paid ads to make up for that difference, because I think we're going to have a crowded field, as you've mentioned. We also have a gubernatorial race that's going to get a lot of attention. I think it'll be hard for anybody's TV ads to really make a decisive difference.
That is true. I suppose radio and TV stations, at least on the sales department side, which we have nothing to do with, they're probably having a great time. But I wonder, though, is social media enough to overcome what some people would think is a need for what they call retail campaigning? In other words, how much are you going to be door to door shaking hands? Are you how much are you going to go downstate, or does your online presence mitigate that somewhat?
So I've been to over 20 towns across Illinois already. I've been more focused on downstate than I think any other candidate. That's just part of my strategy, I'd say, is to try to represent the entire state. I was down in Bloomington this past week. So I am very fortunate because of my grassroots support. I have organic groups in a lot of these cities, you know, Renato, for Central Illinois for Renato. And I got these groups that are very excited to support me. And yeah, I'm going all over the place. And frankly, that is actually, I think, a difference between me and my opponents, because instead of being focused solely on fundraising, I think a lot of people have the view that you can't get out there enough between now and March to make a difference. And my strategy is partly a grassroots type strategy. So I'm out there.
Yeah. Do you get down to the southern part of the state much? Because a lot of people say central Bloomington is kind of the central part of the state, and that's, at least for Chicago candidates, that's usually about as far south as they go. How are you doing there?
Well, it's fair. I mean, I have not gone to the furthest tip of the state, to Cairo, but that I will be going there. We have a trip planned after the holidays, so we'll be heading down there, and I'm, you know, fortunate to have some support down there, and so we will be doing that. But you're right, I do more time in Central Illinois and in Western Illinois. I went out to Knox College recently, did an event there, than I do in the southern.
And you brought up the other race that is sucking up the oxygen, and that's the governor's race, also a crowded field. Who do you like for governor?
Wow. I'm not supporting anyone publicly for governor. There's a lot of my supporters are behind one of them, but I have told them, you know, I'm staying out of that race. I think each of these gentlemen have a lot of strengths and weaknesses, and they'll all be better than Governor Rauner, which is the important thing.
And finally, and we only have about 30 seconds left, what do you think of Governor Rauner, the job that he's done, and his efforts, whether it's been for things like what some are calling sanctuary state or immigration reform?
Two things. I mean, I think he's almost bankrupted our state, and there are people across the state when I've gone around traveling who are very upset about bills that haven't been paid. But he's also attacked our unions and tried to wage war against them, and I'm really concerned about that.
That will be the final word. That is Attorney General candidate Renato Mariotti. Thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you for having me.
To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That is cbschicago.com. You can follow the audio links. You can also find our podcast on radio.com. I will be back next week with another edition of At Issue. In fact, it's our year-end edition with the family of the now Entercom family. And I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dellamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
When you see traffic information we need to know about, call the WBBM Pure Sleep Traffic Tip Line at 1-855-780-ROAD. That's 1-855-7623.
News that matters around the clock. Breaking news at any time. From the MB Financial Bank Studios, MB means business. This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
WBBM News Time, 9:59. Coming up in the next half hour on News Radio WBBM, a would-be robber is shot by his victim in the South Loop. Police in Riverside say a man was arrested for driving drunk with two children in the car. And Christians welcome Christmas across the United States and around the world. More on the way from CBS News. In WBBM Sports, the Bears topped the winless Browns 20-3 at Soldier Field. The Bulls are off until Tuesday, and the Blackhawks don't play again until Thursday. In the AccuWeather forecast, tonight mostly cloudy skies. Snow in northwest Indiana will taper off, a low of 14. And tomorrow, Christmas Day, intervals of clouds and sunshine, a high of 21. It's 19 at O'Hare and 21 at the lakefront. WBBM News Time at the Tone, 10 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.